Discerning. Discerning the gift of God, discerning right and wrong or good and evil. And it's pretty easy these days, isn't it? It's getting real clear what good is good and how evil evil is. But we've got to discern also for our lives, what is your greatest goal? And that's the title of the message today, discerning your greatest goal. What is it? And every one of us have goals. Prayerfully, everybody's got a goal. Because if not, you're just walking around in a circle. But we've got to have goals and visions and dreams, amen? And God stirs that up on the inside of us. And if we don't plant or we don't set any goals, we're bound to reach them, right? Bound to reach absolutely nothing. And so God's not a God that just wants us to walk around aimlessly in the kingdom and just hopefully walk on through, sit in front of a television until he comes. But so many Christians, that's what they do. Not here, not you, okay? But so many people, they're just waiting for that day instead of conquering every day until that day comes. Because you live in victory. You live from a place of victory to a place of victory, amen? The victory has already been won. There's nothing lacking in you. Nothing. Nothing. So every thought that says you lack, it's a lie. Because everything that you need to fulfill the plan and the call of God in your life, you already possess through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's given it to you as a gift. You didn't earn it. Isn't that good news? You don't have to try to be good enough to be victorious. He won the victory for each and every one of us. He's won it all. One man wrote a poem, and I just was chewing on it this week, and I forgot to write his name down. I apologize. It says, "What is the foulest thing on earth? Think of it if you can tell. It is a soul by sin defiled. 'Tis only fit for hell. It is the loathsome earthly den where evil spirits dwell. And what's the purest thing on earth? Come tell me if you know. 'Tis the same soul by Jesus' blood washed whiter far than snow. There's naught more pure above the sky and naught more else pure below." Listen, why do we look at the world and want to be like that? They're only prepared for hell. That's it. That's where they're heading. And yet people in the church, people in the church idolizing someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Pictures and paintings and all these things that we got to have because they represent some earthly person that doesn't even know, some of them, they don't even know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the only thing they're prepared for without Jesus Christ is a Christless eternity. And yet the church has been idolizing some and lifting some. I want you to know, it'll take you away from the goal that God has for you. We've got to stop looking at the things of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Amen? That's all they're prepared for. The goal of your life. And I want to ask you, what is your goal? What is the ultimate goal that you have for your life? Why is it that you arise every morning to get up? And when you get up, we enter into the mercy of God. We enter in and then we step out and we get a bite to eat and then we run out the door. And the purpose and the goal day after day after day after day, what is it in our lives? Is it something that even the heathen can do? Those that are heading for a Christless eternity? Or is there something greater in our lives that we're reaching for, we're striving for, an intimacy with the King so we hear so clearly on a day-to-day basis that someone's life is changed? Is that a goal that there is in our lives, or is it just so we can have a little more? And I'm just looking up at the TV there just so nobody thinks I'm looking at you. Because we all have times and seasons, amen, where we get distracted. Can we all agree on that? Can we all be honest enough where we've gotten distracted by looking at something on this planet and saying, oh, I want, and I'm willing to sacrifice in order to get that, and that will fulfill. And then we came up empty at the end when we received it. But the wonderful thing about God is he's the only one that fulfills, and he does it very well. So what is the goal? discerning your greatest goal, the greatest purpose, the greatest plan, the greatest opportunity that we have on this planet. We've got to sit and discern that inside of our minds, because everything that we do from there out has to be in line with the greatest goal. Who wants to work hard at being third place? How many people prepare all their life? Oh, yeah, no, I'm only working out one day a week because I want to come in third. Yes. That's my ultimate goal. I want to be third. Yeah. I don't want to fulfill the ultimate goal. I just want to come in third. Not me. I don't even work out. I want to be fifth. I want to come in fifth. I want to be known as the guy that came in fifth. It's not what we do in anything that we put our hearts to. And it can't be that. That's the way that we live towards the kingdom of God. That the kingdom or the purpose of God is second, third, fourth, fifth in a category, in the categories that we have for our lives. We all have goals and desires and dreams. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Very familiar scripture that everyone knows. And what does it say? Come on, tell me. Seek ye first what? Right. And his righteousness. And? Right. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look at it, it's not two separate things. Obviously, when you're into the kingdom of God, his righteousness is part of it. Amen? But he's saying, look at, seek ye first the kingdom of God, because in that righteousness, if you don't seek his righteousness, you don't know how God thinks. If we don't study the characteristics of God and the attributes of God, then we're not going to know how to live here on the planet. Because righteousness and justice, they coincide a lot. And the justice of God, God never does something out of impartiality. He's not like us. He doesn't do something because you're really nice. He doesn't do anything because you demand it of him. He is just in everything he does. He's never made a mistake. He never, ever changes. Amen? Everything that he does well. And he doesn't have to apologize. He's the standard. And that righteousness that we're to walk in is about a life of morality. And that's what it actually means. It's a life of how we treat one another. See, we start to understand God's righteousness, then I know how to treat my wife. Then I know how to treat Steve Beagle. Then I know how to treat Dan Knapp. You see, once I start to see and love the Lord with all your heart, right? See, when I fall in love with him, then it's easy to love these guys. What are you saying? It's a little difficult at times, Danita? Is that? That wasn't me, fellas. I'm just saying, all right? But you see, because when we fall in love with the Lord, then it's easy to do his will. Then it's easy to set goals for the kingdom of God to be expanded through our lives, knowing that the gift of God is without repentance. How many times have you failed? How many times do we take our eyes off of what God called us to do? How many times did we absolutely blow it? And the enemy uses that hammer to pound and pound and pound. And what do? We forget about the righteousness that's been imputed to us. We took our eyes off the kingdom and we started looking at the failure. We took our eyes off the kingdom, his righteousness that he washed us in. And we start to look at our failure, something that went awry, something that other people have talked about us. Oh, they're all going to know. Who cares what they know? The only thing I want them to know is what he said. So the more I understand and I look to the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the more I act like him, the more they see him, and the more they're changed by him. Does that make sense? So our focus is going to be the kingdom of God. When the kingdom comes, you're going to do crazy things. You'll do crazy things. You see, because what is your goal? There was one lady named Jane Matheson Haining. She was a Scottish missionary. And I want to read the story of her, just a story of her, end of her life in ministry. It said she was a Scottish woman who was deeply committed to her faith and who sacrificed her life for her ideals. It was her calling that took her away from the native Scotland, first to Budapest and then finally to Auschwitz, where she perished. Jane Haining, a Church of Scotland missionary who was forced into slave labor, died in Auschwitz in 1944 at age 47. After refusing to abandon the Jewish girls in her care at a home for Jewish girls run by the Scottish mission in Budapest, Hungary. Scottish missionaries were advised to return home from Europe, but Jane declined. People are going to tell you, don't go and do what God called you to do. Don't go and do it. They're going to say, you're not good enough. You're not qualified. They're going to say, no, you need to stay back. Just work your job. Live your life. Have enough money. Have a nice retirement. That's all you should do. Don't do those foolish things for the kingdom of God. Don't hazard your life for the king. But I want you to know, those who do, they expand the kingdom. And there's a crown of righteousness for those that act in faith, and they hazard themselves for the kingdom of God. And I believe there's a time that's coming where men and women are going to have to hazard themselves. God doesn't raise a bunch of wimps. He raises warriors. He doesn't pour everything from the throne room into our lives so we can just walk through like heathens do. He pours everything into our lives so we can accomplish mighty things through Christ, who strengthens us in the power of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't call us to sit back and then do what he, sometimes even what those who are spiritual might say. There was 315 pupils, including 48 boarders, and Jane was determined to remain to look after them. She refused, and she wrote, "If these children need me in days of sunshine, how much more do they need me in the days of darkness?" I believe that God's preparing us for some days of darkness. And people are going to need you in those days. We did a funeral here on Friday. Young lady, 32 years old, 4 children. Got an ear infection, went septic. Turned to meningitis. Died in a couple of days. Was it 11, 8, 3 and 1 and a half or something like that? Or 4 and 1 and a half children. Ear infection. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And this life is over, and then you stand before the king. Why not hazard our lives for the king before we get out of here? Why would we want to live some safe little life? Why would we want to live like the rest? Oh, I just want my house and my car, and I just want to do what I want to do. The only thing you're called to do is die. And then give your life away. We sang that this morning. And I pray you sang it with all your heart. Because what God wants to do through you is magnificent. It says in April 1944, the Gestapo arrived at the mission. She was arrested by 2 Gestapo officers at the Scottish mission. They gave her 15 minutes to gather her belongings. And charged her with 8 different offenses. I want you to know, you need to listen to this. Because we're living in a time and a season where this is how silly it's become. The first offense, that she had worked among the Jews. The second offense, that she had wept when seeing the girls attend class wearing the yellow stars. She had wept for him. That was the second offense. That she had dismissed her housekeeper. That's the third offense. That she had listened to news broadcasts of the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. That's another offense. What you listen to, where you get your information from. Sound familiar? She had many British visitors. That's another offense. Who you hang out with. That she was active in politics. That she visited British prisoners of war, and that she had sent British prisoners of war parcels. Only one of these charges she denied with all of the force that was in her. She had never talked or meddled in politics. All the rest of them, she said, "I served them all and I'm guilty. I loved them and I wept over them." How stupid do those charges sound? But there's just as silly and foolish things that are happening today. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? Man in his arrogance and his pride and his power only repeats everything every so many hundred years. All it is a repeat. And it cost her life. She went and she served there. She was Scottish. She wasn't Jewish. But she helped those that needed help. She listened to the wrong news station. It's amazing. But I believe that what God wants for us is to stand on his promises, and he's going to take us places. And whether you live to 80, if you live to 80 and do nothing for the kingdom, or you live to 40 and did everything for God, I'll take the 40 years. It's not how long we live, it's about what we've done for the kingdom, amen? And how we've lived according to his word, because people's lives, listen, we want people to live a long time serving him. That's the key. Just living a long time doesn't mean anything. There's heathens that have lived to 100 years old before they died. Doesn't get them some prize. But for the kingdom of God, our job is to build the kingdom, amen? And what is your greatest goal? What are you going to spend your life doing? God's laws, as given in the Bible, both describe his own character and constitute the plumb line by which he measures human righteousness in each one of us. The Greek word for righteousness primarily describes conduct in relationship to others, beginning with the relationship to God, especially with regard to the rights of others in business and legal matters. And it's contrasted with wickedness. Right? So if we're going to walk in righteousness, we're going to stay away from wickedness. We're going to stay away from the darkness. Is there any darkness that's trying to consume you? Dark thoughts? I was taking my prayer walk today, this morning, and you know, I always usually do the same route every time. Right? I go down Union Street. I go down and I go through the park that's not done, that's closed off. I undo the bungee cords and I go up into the park. Oh, I forgot this is on TV. And then I go up and I pray over the river and I pray for Athens and the churches down the line, the churches up the line, and over in Cairo. And I just spend my time up there walking back and forth, overlooking the Hudson River. Watching sometimes the eagles come through and they fish, or I watch the gray herons come through and the seagulls are over on the parking lot. And it's just incredible, the deer on the island across the river. And I just spend my time in prayer. And then I usually come back and I come up Columbia Street and I'll pass the high rise. And then I cut through over there by that newer building over there. And I come back over through. And today, as I was walking, I'm just praying. And as I got to the high rise, I just took a right, which I don't usually do. I just felt like I was supposed to go to the right. So I take a right, and there's a gentleman sitting there. So I encouraged him a little bit. He didn't have much to say. But that's all right. It has nothing to do with what he has to say. It has everything to do with what God has to say. Amen? And then I was walking, and I met a young lady. And I knew her. And so I stopped, and she just started to weep and to cry for one of her children. And so I got to pray with her there on the street and believe God for the miraculous. Because I don't know about you, but I don't think there's too many people out there that doesn't have a brother, a sister, a child, an aunt or uncle, somebody that's hurting. Somewhere where darkness or the lie of the enemy is consuming them. I think we could probably pray for every marriage in this church every week. Because I don't think a marriage goes through 1 week without having to deal with something. I'm only speaking from my experiences, but sometimes they're just little. Sometimes they're just a little attitude. Sometimes they're a little bigger than little. And it takes just a little bit more. But I believe that when we press into him and when his words become our words and we start to agree with the righteousness that we get to walk in, everything starts to change. Everything. The Bible describes a righteous person as just or right, holding to God and trusting in him. See, I have to trust God for my marriage because I'm in charge. I don't have to say anything more, do I? Because I need him in my marriage to be strong. Have to have him. Gentlemen, if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you. You have to have
time in the Word and in prayer if your marriage is going to be strong. You know, it means that that we're made righteous in the sight of God, and we are accepted as righteous, and we are treated as righteous. Do you believe that God treats you as righteous? Do you think that you're righteous and expect to be blessed in that righteousness that you're walking in? Or are the thoughts on everything you've done wrong that consume you, and therefore you walk with your head down? Are you expecting the miraculous? Are you expecting the victory in the midst of a situation that doesn't look good? We were talking the other day, because we're believing for a miracle with the naps. Believing for a miracle, mirror. Mirror, miracle. That's what we got to pray for. We'll be expecting it. I remember when the Collinses, I know they're watching every morning. They're taking care of Al's mom. But I remember when they were adopting their two girls. I think it was, a couple of weeks before the adoption? I can't remember when. It wasn't a short time before the adoption, and they called her up and they said, don't even go to the court, don't even go to the hearing, because it's impossible, you're not going to get those girls. They've been working on this for years. And here it is, it's crunch time, and they said, it's not going to happen, don't even go to the court. And Lori called my wife, and my wife said, you go. We're standing in Christ. 2 weeks later, the adoption was final. See, what man has to say has nothing to do with what God can do. What the enemy proclaims and speaks can be transformed by the power of God's word and faith in him. So we're believing for a miracle. And we're not only believing, but we're expecting a miracle. Amen? Because we're praying from a place of faith, which gives us the victory, right? So in your marriage, if it's weak, if you're praying from a place of failure, oh, Lord, you know, the wife praying, oh, Lord, help him. You know he's a bonehead. That's not praying from a place of victory. Just saying, ladies. All right, guys, the same thing. We got to pray from the position of what the word of God says, the righteousness that we have. Why? Because we've got a bigger goal than just being married. We got a bigger goal than just having babies. No matter how many or when. There's a bigger goal for your life. Is it even a thought in our mind as the body of Christ? We're treated as righteous by God on the account of what Jesus Christ has done. Do you believe that every morning when you get up, you're going to be treated as righteous? Or you think you're going to get treated as yesterday because of your sum total of the things that you did yesterday? God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I made you righteous. Right. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. That's what we sang, right? I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. And it's so true. But do you act like you're being treated by God as righteous? So that when you wake up in the morning and you come before the throne room, you come in and say, hey, Daddy! Or do you come in and say, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned? With your head down, your heart down. I've done everything wrong. I know I'm a failure. I know I'm a loser. I know... There's nothing about faith in that. Repentance is a good thing. But to beat yourself up in front of God and have a pity party, that's childish. We've got to get past that. We've got to come to him as those that we know he's looking on us as righteous, not based on what I've done right or wrong. But I'm righteous because of what his word says the blood has done. Can we agree on that? Good. So when we get up in the morning, can we come before him and say, Father, whatever, if I had a wrong thought, if I had a wrong word, if I had a wrong deed, I repent. I'm sorry. Now, let's get down to business, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I expect to be treated righteously. Does God ever treat you unrighteously? Then why do you think it? I know I deserve the flat tire. That's the way we think. Because we forgot that he's going to treat us righteously according to his word, based on what he said, the blood has done over everyone that believes. Tell your neighbors, I believe. Good. Then it's time that you started to believe that you're going to be treated as righteous. As righteous. There's no more begging. Oh God, please, maybe if possible, could you? Do you think? You know what God thinks is written in his word. We know what he says. We know how he feels. We know what he thinks. We know what he's given us. We know what he's promised us. So can we come before him and remind him of the promises that he placed on the inside of us? If you save the jailer and his family, you said you'll save me and my household. When's the last time you had an expectation of your household being saved? Where you expected them to sit next to you? Where you expected them to call you up and say, you wouldn't believe what happened! What happened? I gave my life to Christ. You did? Why? That's how some people respond. Is this true? Oh, we'll find out in a while. Then you better come over to my house and repent to me because you were really mean. How do we respond to those that come into the kingdom of God? What are our thoughts? I believe God wants to take us to some place that's greater than where we've been living. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom, or there is liberty. Right. So if we're walking in righteousness, then we're walking in liberty. And you have your freedom. You have freedom. You have freedom to choose right and wrong. Amen? You have freedom to choose whether you're going to go back into the darkness or whether you're going to walk in the light. Nothing has authority over you because you are walking now in the Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit is weak? But how many times do we walk in weakness because we don't trust in the power of the Holy Ghost? How many have never even received the Holy Ghost as a gift? Well, I don't know. That's a little bit, that's that, you know, wacky Pentecostal stuff. Them holy rollers. They get out of control. Oh, I wish that the whole house of God got out of control in the Holy Ghost. Remember back in the 80s and the old Jericho jogs around the church. Art remembers. I know Bob and Louise do. Holy Spirit start to move and everybody just start running around. It was almost like at the wedding. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And it was all through the church. Whole train of people running around in the Spirit of God. Just screaming. They couldn't contain themselves anymore. They had to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But I want you to know the gift of the Holy Spirit empowers you. And who would withhold God from giving you a gift? But now the Lord of the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And the Spirit is here, and yet people are still in bondage. How many believe the Holy Spirit's here? Right. And yet there's still people, some that are here, that are in bondage. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, so it's where the Spirit of the Lord is, and people agree.
Amen.
They walk in faith. Yep. In the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Right? How many come into church and don't even believe in the Holy Ghost? There's churches out there won't preach on it, won't teach on it. And yet it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And some people say, I don't want that kind of freedom. I want my rules and regulations. I want my law. I want to do everything in the natural. And God said, no, I want you free in the Spirit. I want the Spirit of God to come in. And I want you to receive him as a gift. And then he's going to give you the power to walk in your freedom. Because you see, where the Spirit is, freedom comes. But if you say, I don't believe, I don't think that's true, I don't think there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, well, then we're going to have to go back to what the Scripture says. Amen? And God said, this is one of my promises to you. And if you want freedom, you're going to have to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus Christ breaks that curse. The Holy Spirit brings back to your remembrance everything that God's Word wrote.
And what do we say? I don't want him bringing it back to my remembrance. I like this dungeon I've been living in. I'll just pick myself up by my bootstraps. I'm strong anyway. I'll make it to the end. I'm a fighter. And God just looks down and says, really? Really? You think you're going to destroy the spiritual, the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places in your own strength, and you don't want the Holy Ghost? Okay. Because God doesn't demand anything in that. He simply offers it. Amen? But you see where the Spirit of the Lord is, because if we're going to walk in righteousness and right standing, we have an expectation that whatever the Word of God says we can have, we're going to have. And it's different than water baptism. It's different than water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's part of the gift that God has given us, where the Spirit of the Lord is. It has those that have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them, they have the freedom to walk in dominion. So is there an area of our lives where we're not walking in dominion, where a different thought, a different desire, a different hunger and thirsting consumes us? Is there something else in our lives that the thought is consuming us? It's overwhelming us. We can't stop thinking about it. That's all we plan on, right? Right now in baseball, everybody, every team in the MLB, is the only thought they have is, can we make it to the World Series? Now, there's some whose records are so bad, they know there's no way to the World Series. But how much of the church thinks the same way? Because the mistakes have been so many, there's no way to victory. Oh, it's because of the way that I was raised. Wrong answer. Those curses are broken. Oh, it's because I don't have, wrong answer. He has given you all things that pertain to what? Life, 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 life. Everything you need for life, he has supplied. And godliness. So there's nothing lacking in you. Nothing. So these guys are all fighting right now for the World Series. Just so happens that the Mets are on top of the National League division. So that's a good thing. I know the Yankees are on top of the American League too, but stop it. Just stop it. But it'd be great to have a Subway Series. The only thought they have is getting to the World Series. Everything that the coach does, the manager does, the owner does, the players do, they have one thought. How do I get better at hitting a curveball or a sinker? Or a split seam. The catcher, how do I get better at throwing somebody out at second base? The pitcher, how can I pick up another, how can I make sure that I hit the corners of the strike box? I get better at my ability to throw it even a little bit low, but it looks like it's going to be a strike. It's all they do. Their whole lives are bent on winning a game. Game. Oh, that we had that kind of desire. To win one person to Christ. That the only thought we had is, Lord, I just have to spend more time with you. Lord, I just need to read a little bit more. I love the Word of God. I love my Bible. I don't know about you guys, but I love my Bible. I wore one out and I keep it because it's got so many things written in it. And I got a new one. I don't like breaking in a new one. I like my old one. It's soft. It flexes. And I remember where things are on what page, what side of the page, what color I highlighted them in. And I can go back and grab them right away because I love the Word of God. And if we love the Lord and we understand we're going to be treated as righteous, our goals start to change, don't they? If you feel like you're going to be treated like a second-class citizen, then you're going to act like one. Isn't that how so many people act? Yeah, well, I don't deserve nothing good in my life. None of us did, but I expect good because my God is good. Amen. And he said, I'm righteous. And he said, he's going to supply my needs. So I don't give a rat about tomorrow. Today, I got some problems today to work on, right? We all have, today's got enough issues of its own, the scripture says. But there's no doubt about tomorrow, the next day, or the next day, or the next day. not fretting, not worrying, not being anxious for everything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto who? Unto God alone. How many stop there? How many believe you're that righteous or you have right standing and you're going to be treated as righteous? And therefore, I just need you, God. Or do I need 72 other people to agree with me just in case, because I don't know if God hears me. I'm not sure if God's going to hear my cry and answer it. I know he'll answer yours. No, he'll answer those in faith. He'll answer the prayers of faith. When we stand in faith, God comes in and says, that's my boys and girls. That's why my son died. That's why I gave him as a sacrifice. So that you know you could cry out to him, I'm going to hear your cry and I'm going to heal your land. True freedom is to do what is right. True freedom is to do what is right. I just want you to think about it for a minute. True freedom is to do what is right. Isn't that always the issue? Right? Right or wrong? Angry or happy? Forgiving or holding a grudge? Peace or let's go to war? We like war because it satisfies the flesh. Or at least we think we do. But when we get in the middle of war, then we hate it because it's miserable. It's horrible. Nothing good comes from these silly wars that our government gets us in all around the world. Nothing comes from them. It's just a cyclical situation, money-making gambit, where one man tries to dominate and control another. God said, I came that you might be free. That's what God's word says. And so I want to encourage you, true freedom is to do what is right. See, if you can't do what is right, you're not completely free. Can we agree on that? Because if we're doing what's wrong, there's something in me that has to get out of me. Through the power of prayer, through the power of the word, through the power of the Holy Ghost. But when we truly are free, we can do what is right. And doing what's right is fun. See, we were told doing what was wrong was fun. I was. Doing what was wrong, oh, that's a good time. Destroying your body, that's a good time. Putting junk in your body so you don't know who you are, that's a good time. No, that's just stupid. That's just the devil saying, hey, look at these morons. You can talk them into anything. And he was right with me. Stuff we did around the world was just completely foolish. But I didn't have the ability to do what was right. Because I thought wrong. And if you're thinking wrong, you're going to do wrong. But if you're thinking right, you can do right. Because you've been empowered to do right. And true liberty comes into your life when you can do right and find great joy in it. Oh, you goody two-shoes. Yep. All my friends in the Air Force, used to be fun. Oh, yeah? What do you want to do? We used to laugh and cut up. I say, you want me to tackle you over top of that pool table? I will. I can do it stone sober. You want to wrestle and kick the label off the jukebox? Throw each other over top of bar stools? We can do that. Let's do it right now. I'll have a Coke on the rocks. It's all I need. Because I don't care about what people think anymore. Securing who I am. Yeah, they say, oh, come on, man. You used to be. I used to be lost. I used to be headed for hell. I used to be in bondage. I used to be angry. I used to be all of those things. Hurt, damaged, insecure. And then came Jesus Christ. And joy came in the house of God in transformation and in each one of our lives. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. Everything changed one moment with the king.
And I want to encourage you, one moment with your king and you get honest with him, you can change. Yeah, but I can't do what is right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you're going to be treated as righteous when you stand before God. And when you cry out with a heart and say, God, I can't do this. He said, I can. But you see, so many times we pray, God, you can't do this. We don't say that, but that's how we act. God, you can't. It's too big. I've been doing it for too long. You don't know what they did to me. I know what they did to my son. Yeah, but this is different. How many here think that you're different? That your situation, nobody else on the planet ever walked through. Nobody has seen what you've seen. Nobody's experienced what you've experienced. Nobody's been healed or delivered compared to what you've gone through. How many people in the kingdom of God have that thought because they don't know they're going to be treated righteous by the power of God? And so they take the situation that's horrible and they blow it up and they expound it to be something bigger than it is. And it's this little mole and they made it a mountain. And God said, no, we can wipe that whole mountain away. That's not a problem. If you believe, it's all it's going to take. Because when I believe that I'm saved, when I believe that the blood was enough, when I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost can destroy the yoke, when I believe these things, everything starts to change in my life. Everything starts to change in our lives. So what is your goal? Is it to live and just try to get by? Get by Christianity is terrible. Because it's up and down. It's the ebb and flow of what you've done and didn't do. That's get by Christianity. Victory. In the Spirit of God. Oh, that's fun. That's fun. That'll take you around the world. That'll take you to places you never dreamed of going. That'll take you on a prayer walk and you'll find somebody that will start crying in front of you and you don't even know what's going on and they say, can you please pray for me? That's fun stuff. Fun stuff is leading somebody to Christ and watch their eyes just start to open and their heart starts to change and their marriage start to get strong and their babies come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's fun stuff. That's what we've been called to give our hands to and our lives to. The battle is always in the flesh and the spirit, and freedom is to act out what is right, no longer acting out of pain and hurt and anger. Psalms 33:11, it says, but the plans or the counsel of the Lord stand firm, how long? Forever. How long? Right. So the plans of the Lord stand forever. God doesn't change. Therefore, his counsel to you is never going to change. He's never going to change. He's not going to say, well, I know you went through, so you don't have to. You don't have to agree that you're righteous. I have a special place, you know, that you can just hang out and not even think about that. And I'll carry you all the way in. That's not for you. That's for everybody else. No, the counsel of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, if you want to walk free, then lay down your life. Receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you want to be powerful, if you want to walk in the power of God, then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the very power that God imputes to us or gives us. And he said, if you want to be free, then you're going to have to believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're going to be free, you're going to have to agree with what he has said about you. If you want to dance and shout unto God, not caring about who's in church, how many still can't get their hands out of their pockets? Been in Christ for a long time. How many are at half mass? How many are... Yes, Lord. And how many can just say, I don't care who's looking, because I am righteous. It's been imputed to me. I've got a goal, and it's to obey him. I've got a plan, and it's to give him glory. I've got a purpose, and it's more glorious than anything I've ever seen in my life. See, I believe that's what God has for each and every one in here, because you are righteous in Jesus Christ. You have right standing with the Father. And you know, the plans or the counsel of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. He didn't leave this generation out. He's not leaving the millennials out, as confused as they are right now. Or whatever the next generation. I don't know what generation we're into right now. I know we're into the generation of confusion. That's the only thing I know. And it started back in the 60s. So the rest of you are included too. So just stop it. You brought the confusion. Love, peace, and joy, and rock and roll, yeah. Look where it got us. Whatever goal you're setting, it's not just about you. It's not just about today. It's not even just about your lifetime. The Lord's plans have purposes through all generations, and our goals must be a part of his eternal impact. God prepared his plan for each of us, liberty, and are you going to walk in it? Doggone clock. We look at how, one last point, how Jesus never got away from the ultimate goal. Men tried to, didn't they? Right? As soon as he was baptized, what happened? The devil said, I'll give you, I'll give you, I'll give you. Now just think about that. I'll give you what's yours, I'll give you what's yours, and I'll give you what's yours. He was appealing to the natural side of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't fall for it. Jesus said, I'm going to have to go and give my life, and I'm going to be crucified. Peter said, oh, you can't go. There's no way. Another time, a man tried to stop him from fulfilling his purpose, and the ultimate goal is the Savior of the world. And Jesus had to tell him, get behind me. Stop it. You'll never pull me off of what God called me to do. Intimacy with the Father and a plan that saves everyone that calls upon my name. See, what is the goal that God has for your life? Maybe you have the ability to prophesy, and you're not using it. Why? Because you don't think you're going to be treated righteous. Because you think people are going to make fun of you. They already do. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, say, I do. We do. We make fun of each other all the time. Oh, I'm not stepping out. I'm not saying anything. I'm no preacher. I'm not prophesying. I'm not going up there and singing. But we get in the shower and we crank it. I'll have a blue Christmas. Or whatever it is, you get in there, you think you're Elvis, you think you're anybody else in that bathroom all by yourself. And the rest of the people in your house say, would you stop? And you said, oh, I can't. I just can't stop, baby. I can't stop. You see, I believe that gift that you have inside of you is to bring glory and honor to God. And if it's singing, then you need to be singing. If it's prophetic, then you need to be prophesying. If it's pastoring, then you need to step up and say, Pastor, I believe that I'm supposed to be pastoring in the house of God. Maybe it's doing evangelism and you're not even supposed to be in this country. I don't know what your gift and your calling is, but I do believe that time's running out. And I believe that we need to act on the word of God as men and women are righteous and expect to be treated righteously. Stand up this morning. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. John 17, 3 said, this is eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about, knowing him. He's got a plan and a purpose, and it's beautiful for your life. Amen? Look at that baby. Ain't even born from the cradles, and God's got a plan for that baby's life. Nobody even knows what they're having yet. God does. The baby's going to probably be about this tall. Imagine that. Who knows what color eyes and hair, what gift the Holy Spirit is going to give that baby? I don't know what it's going to be, but I guarantee you it's one that's going to bring glory to God. That's the ability that's being birthed in there.
And it's a mouthpiece for the future. It's a mouthpiece for what's coming, just like every one of our children. Every single one of them. But we're going to have to lead sometime.
We're going to have to lead sometime and be those that walk out righteous, expecting to be treated righteous by God the Father. And if he treats me righteously, forget everybody else. If they curse you and they mock you and they make fun of you and you try, and you get up there and the first time you prophesy and you start... That's what Moses did. I stutter. God said, I'm the one that gave you that mouth. But I'll give you Aaron. He's the one that created you. You don't think he can do it through you? He just needs a corpse. He just needs bones sometimes. Right? Just dry bones. They just threw that body on them bones and... I wonder if that guy just took one as a keepsake, grabbed a rib and kept it with him. Every time he wasn't feeling good, rubbed it on his head or something. You don't know, you weren't there. But God doesn't need much. He just needs you. And we don't have much to offer, but when he's inside of us, we've got everything that the world needs. Amen? You're incredible. Because of the Christ in you. You all right? She's thinking about rubbing her head with that rib bone. You're incredible in Christ. You're incredible in Christ. You're incredible in Christ. That's who you are. Husbands, get the shirt, Mr. Incredible. Wives, you get it too. That's who you are in Christ. All because of him. Nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, we're so blessed by your word. We're so thankful for the power that comes through it. And we believe this morning, we're in agreement with Ephesians 2:10. That says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Father, this morning, we look forward to the good works you have for us this morning. The good works for tomorrow. Lord, we agree that we're righteous. And Lord, forgive us for unrighteous goals. Forgive us for goals that are so far below the calling on our lives. Lord, I pray that every goal that we have would come and have to come under the plan or the purpose of God. That any desires we have, we would surrender them to you so that you would be glorified. And we would give you the freedom, Lord, because freedom is about doing what's right. Therefore, we give you the freedom to choose and to realign our goals so that they're the ones that you have chosen over our lives to bring you glory. Help realign our goals, oh God. Lord, if there's goals that came from a lie of the enemy where I can't, Father, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus now and say, get out. Lord, if there's one that's where fear has come in, that spirit of fear, get out in the name of Jesus. For we truly are free indeed. Therefore, we choose to do what is right according to your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill each and every one right now, fresh and anew. That every time a wrong thought would come, you would remind them, no, 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 no. Remind each one of us, oh no, you get to choose. Choose righteous. Choose good. Choose faith. Choose his word. Choose to obey the leading of the Holy Ghost. Choose to expect the miraculous. Choose to believe according to the word of God for your whole family. When you choose God, you choose all power, all authority, all mercy, all grace, all comfort, all joy. You choose it all. So, Father, this morning, Lord, we pray your blessing upon each one. Give us eyes to see. For we agree that when we walk in the Spirit, we walk free indeed to choose what is right. To choose what is right. To choose what is right today so that you're glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.